Weekend Breakfast with Africa Milani on Cape Talk.
It is 21 minutes now past 7 o'clock. In 2.5 hours and some minutes, the former President Jacob Zuma will be coming back to South Africa. He'll be landing at Oa Tambo International Airport after spending some time in Cuba, where he's been receiving treatment. He's expected to address his supporters for the first time since news of his illness and his subsequent decision to seek medical care in the Northern Caribbean country broke. Umkhonto weSizwe Military Veterans Association spokesperson Carl Niehaus telling City Press that the former president's ill health can be attributed to the relentless pressure that has been placed on him for over 15 years. He's been subjected to numerous court appearances, yet he has already been found guilty by the court of public opinion. We believe, he says, that this is where his illness has emanated from. Another group pledging its support to Jacob Zuma is the Congress of South African Students. The Secretary General of COSAS saying, "I can confirm that I will be going to Oa Tambo to welcome Jacob Zuma. Honestly, a lot of South Africans are bitter regarding how Zuma has been treated by our judicial system, particularly the issuing of a warrant of arrest against him. Hence, my conviction that they will turn out in their numbers on Saturday." That's Tebogo Magafane, who's the Secretary General of COSAS. I thought this morning, instead of focusing on Jacob Zuma and his return from Cuba, let's rather focus on Cuba and the healthcare system that the former president believes is better suited to treat his illness than a South African healthcare system. And Professor Lungile Pepeta is the Executive Dean of Health Sciences at the Nelson Mandela University, joining me on the line. Professor, very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
I do know that South Africa sends a number of South African nationals to Cuba in order for them to study to become doctors. And obviously, once graduated, they return to our country to be deployed to various healthcare facilities, public healthcare facilities. I also know for a very long time, we had a number of Cuban-trained doctors coming to South Africa, Cubans, to come and participate, I suppose, in delivery of the healthcare system in this country. So there's something special, clearly, about Cuba's healthcare system.
Yes, there is. It is the manner in which they've been doing their training. And also the way the system has been established in terms of delivery and focus in terms of the rollout of the healthcare system. Then this whole thing started in 1960. Where Cuba focused on a comprehensive healthcare system that would emphasize primary healthcare, preventive healthcare, good health and well-being, together with treatment, rehabilitation, and palliation. So it's a comprehensive healthcare system compared to South Africa's system, which is a church system and a hospice-centric system. So we will go and see a doctor, receive treatment, as opposed to a good health and well-being and changing the lifestyle and preventing disease, which Cuba puts the same emphasis as treatment. So that's the vast difference between our health system and that of the Cuba.
And if we, and I imagine obviously there's data that proves that the approach that Cuba has in place is more effective in dealing and providing an adequate healthcare system to a society.
Yes, definitely. I mean, if we look at the death rate in Cuba, it is so low and the life expectancy is so high that in fact, on average, you live to be 8 years in Cuba, whereas in South Africa, our death rate sits around 60. Yeah, I mean, our life expectancy sits around 60 years. And if we look at the true death rate, we lose about 17 per 1,000 South Africans per year, whereas in Cuba, they lose about 7 Cubans per 1,000 per year. So our South Africans die much more than the Cubans. The figures are over double those of Cuba. So that speaks volumes, particularly noting that both South Africa and Cuba are low middle income countries, you know, with a comparable GDP. So how is it then that we are We've got such a high death rate compared to that of Cuba. It's in the system that we're rolling out.
I imagine, though, factors such as criminality. We've been discussing it all morning since 6 o'clock, the death of Tasni van Wyk and how we are literally becoming a lawless society. We know that a lot of incidents, certainly reported in Cape Town, are often related to drug and substance abuse and gangsterism and all those social ills that, unfortunately, it doesn't matter how well-run your healthcare system is, that it cannot address.
Yeah, that has got to be addressed. I mean, you saw safe when you're in Cuba. I visited Cuba in 2017. The streets are safe and everyone is safe, and the levels of crime are extremely low in Cuba. And security is tight. Every corner you turn, there's either a military man or a policeman. So, yeah, they take their security very seriously in Cuba. So that's one of the contributing factors, definitely.
And certainly a debate for another day, that notion of, because there is an element of giving up one's civil liberties in order to feel safe. The notion that there's a military man at every corner, for example, in order for you to feel safe. But let's speak more to... Yeah. To the actual healthcare system. We don't know what the particular details are around the former president Jacob Zuma, and we shouldn't, because he has a right to privacy when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But your thoughts on the fact that he had to leave this country to go to Cuba to receive this specialist treatment. I mean, system aside, what particular treatments are Cuba world renowned for that he can only receive treatment there, as opposed to, quite frankly, some of our expertly skilled doctors and healthcare professionals in this country that they couldn't provide?
Yeah, I think more than saying maybe perhaps we don't have a facility for our former president to be treated here, I don't think that's the main reason, because probably his treatment was more like hospital treatment, which I do think we really have got very advanced systems in this country, both in public and private, to deal with those issues. As I mentioned earlier, we are more hospice-centric, so we are very advanced in that, in offering tertiary and quaternary services in our facilities. It was more for his privacy and other reasons he went to Cuba. But be that as it may, Cuba, much as it focuses on primary health care, it also has got centers of excellence, a neuroscience center, a cardiovascular center, and all those centers that offer quaternary care. Plus, also, they've invested a lot in bioengineering. Cuba had to be independent when it was ostracized for years, for decades, that they had to make their own vaccines, their own medication. So they've got their own pharmaceutical sort of and bioengineering sort of portfolio. So based on that, they are able to self-sustain that way. And they've got these big centers that I mentioned that focus on organ-specific diseases.
As the Executive Dean of Health Sciences at the Nelson Mandela University, where you are responsible, amongst others, in obviously training would-be doctors who then contribute to the healthcare system that we provide in South Africa, how do you feel that a former president who, quite frankly, because SANDF will still be responsible for his healthcare, can have access to some of the best treatment this country has to offer, chooses to go to Cuba as opposed to stay in his own country to receive that treatment?
Yeah, that actually, for me, gives me some discomfort in that we need to trust our system and we know it's good. So I still wouldn't know exactly what prompted this visit to Cuba by our former president when we have these facilities. And what does it say about our facilities, or what does it imply about our facilities? You know, because we do train very, very good doctors in treatment, so to speak, because I don't think he was going there to be taught how to prevent disease and have a good lifestyle in terms of preventing disease. It probably was for treatment. And I still want to maintain that could be provided here in South Africa. Now, regarding the training of medical practitioners and how we have packaged that as Nelson Mandela University. We have sort of followed the philosophy, the pedagogical philosophy that Cuba has, in that we want to train comprehensive medical practitioners that then will put emphasis on disease prevention, good health and well-being, treatment, rehabilitation, and palliation. So that's how our curriculum is packaged, such that then our practitioners are trained in a community-based setting as well as being trained in the hospital, rather than concentrating on training them in big cities like the other medical schools are doing across the country. So that's the difference about our training compared to the rest of the country and most of the universities across the world.
Professor Lungile Pepeta, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. Executive Dean of Health Sciences at the Nelson Mandela University.